Welcome to the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast. Youth ministries rise and fall on the volunteers. So we are here to encourage and equip you. Join the conversation as we tackle the practical questions you are asking so you can help the next generation know Jesus.
Well, welcome back, friends, to another episode of the Youth Workers Podcast, a podcast that's just for you, the volunteer youth worker, because what you do matters. You might be wondering, who is this strange voice that you're hearing? It's not Jeremy, it's not Sid, it's not Lisette. In fact, you're correct. My name is Steve Zacharias. I'm the director of coaching for YWC, and I have the tremendous privilege of standing in for some of my good friends here on this podcast. And here is why. Because I am at a unique location. I am here in Kelowna, British Columbia, Canada, at one of the Coalition for Youth Ministry Leadership cohort locations, here with one of our incredible faculty, Dr. Randall Rouser. And I believe Dr. Randall Rouser is professor of historical theology at Taylor Seminary in Edmonton, Alberta. Hey, Randall, I would love to introduce you, but I think you would probably do a much better job of introducing you. I see that you are not only a professor of theology, but you are also an author, and some of these books have some pretty interesting titles, like one that caught me was The Swedish Atheist, The Scuba Diver, and Other Apologetic Rabbit Trails. Maybe you could tell me, like, this sounds like you've got an interesting story, Randall. Why don't you tell me a little bit about you?
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Great to be on with you. Yeah, I've been at Taylor for close to 20 years. I teach in the area of theology, church history, apologetics, and worldview. I've written 11 books and co-written 3 others, 2 of which were with atheists. So, and I love to talk about apologetics and worldview, and it's great to be with you now.
Wow. As a theologian writing a book with an atheist, now, like, that sounds to me like a bit of a unique challenge. Randall, tell me a little bit of what it's like to write from that perspective with someone whom I might feel as just, you know, probably not as wise as you, but I'd feel a little bit threatened in my position. What's it like to endeavor in a project like that?
Well, I think it depends on the person. In fact, so I wrote 2 books with atheists. The first one was a different dynamic than the second one, because in the first one, this fellow named John Loftus, his view was that Christians are all delusional and irrational, sort of a pretty hard-line view from an atheistic perspective. The second was with a fellow named Justin Schieber, who I was, I think, much better, closer with and closer in terms of a friendship. And he also had the view that the Christians are perfectly rational and have a very defensible worldview. And it's just a reminder that you find the same sorts of diversity in atheistic or skeptic or secular communities that you find in Christian. And some people are easier to get along with than others. And so the best thing to do is just to kind of talk to people and get to know them.
That sounds fantastic. Now, that sounds like a true apologist speaking there. Randall, now I use the word apologist, and I feel like I can be fancy in doing that. The trouble is I only have a slight knowledge of what that really means. I've heard the word thrown out a lot, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners who are volunteer youth leaders across Canada, United States, and the world really, are maybe wondering, what does it mean to be an apologist?
So an apologist is someone who gives a defense for something, for a particular belief or practice. It comes from a Greek word, apologia, meaning to give a defense. Now, sometimes we think of apologetics as a very technical enterprise that is only undertaken by some Christians who have special training. But in fact, every time that you give a defense, a reason for the hope you have within, as we read in 1 Peter 3:15, every time you do that with somebody, you are being an apologist. And in fact, I think as Christians, we are all called to be an apologist, to be able to give other people reasons and explanations for why we hold the beliefs that we do.
So good, Randall. So what you're saying is I don't need to have a doctorate degree to be an apologist. Even the volunteer youth leaders that are listening right now, in a sense, are apologists. Tell us, like, how should that change my perspective as I go out each week and I'm working with teenagers? What does it mean to be an apologist with teenagers?
Well, it means to be, I would say, open to their questions and to be actively thinking about how to engage with questions, to to seek when people have objections to Christian faith, to provide responses to those questions, and also to look for positive evidence or grounds for Christian faith, both of which can strengthen the faith of Christians and also provide non-Christians with a reason to consider Christianity.
So good, Randall. I love that. I love that. You know what, Randall, I want to ask you a big question, because one of the questions that I hear from my fellow colleagues, my co-laborers out there, my volunteer youth leaders, there's one big question that keeps coming back over and over again, especially in our current culture. And this is the question that we want to tackle today, is what can I do as a volunteer youth leader to help a young person who is perhaps deconstructing their faith? I'm wondering if you can give us some practical wisdom on this, Randall.
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, let's just define, what does it mean to deconstruct? Well, to construct a faith or a belief means, of course, you're putting it together, you're figuring out what your beliefs are, and you're developing them over time. If you deconstruct, what you end up doing is saying, you know what, I think I got some of these things wrong. I need to take some things apart and try to figure out how to put it together again. It's kind of like if you're building a car engine, you put it all back together and it's not running. You're like, you know what, I have to deconstruct it, figure out what's wrong, and then put it back together again. The first thing I would want to say is that we shouldn't be afraid of that process. It can be unnerving. It can be kind of distressing to have to go some process of deconstruction. But I think we should just look at it as the process of trying to figure out what we believe. A second thing I would just add is we don't have to feel like we have all the answers, because Christianity is not about the ability to pass a theology exam. It's about having a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And in that sense, you can intellectually continue to spend your life deconstructing and reconstructing your cognitive understanding of Christian doctrine. And all the while, you can still be in a deep and profound and meaningful relationship with God. So you don't have to view the process of deconstruction as something that would threaten or potentially undermine your faith.
So what I hear you saying, Randall, is as a youth leader, I don't need to panic when my students start asking really hard questions, even questions that might sound to me like they're really challenging their faith, or maybe even in some cases, I might feel like they're losing faith. I don't need to feel anxious about that, Randall. I wonder if you could tell me, what are some of the things that I can do as a volunteer leader, just even to address that for myself? You've been in big conversations with people who are even perhaps antagonistic towards your faith. And, you know, just sitting in a class with you for the last few days, I see you're the type of guy that seems to be able to keep his cool in the midst of even, you know, tough challenges. Tell us a little bit about what I can do to be perhaps a more curious or gracious youth leader as my students are asking really hard questions.
When I was growing up in evangelical Christianity 30, 40 years ago, there was sort of this expectation that you had to have it all figured out and you had to be certain in everything. And that really sets people up for, I think, unnecessary struggles and crises of faith. So the first thing I would want to say is to create in people an expectation or a readiness to welcome questions and doubts. Now, I don't think that you have to seek out questions and doubts if you don't necessarily have them, but I do think that when people do have doubts and questions, they shouldn't be threatened by them. I'd like to point out that the name Israel, Jacob received the name Israel because he strived with God through the night. He wrestled with the angel, and he was blessed with the name Israel, which means he who has strived with God. And throughout the history of the Jewish people, and I think on into Christianity as we have been grafted in, that we are to be identified as people who are willing to struggle and strive with God, just like Jacob did through the night, just like the psalmist does, just like Job did. And so we shouldn't be afraid of that. In fact, that willingness to ask hard questions and struggle with doubts is a sign of a deeper pious relationship with God, because you're willing to raise the hard questions and struggle with them.
So then I start to wonder, Randall, what's my role as a youth leader to cultivate some of those questions? Like, it's a little scary and perhaps even dangerous, I feel, to ask really hard questions. Or is it, Randall? What's the right role for me to play as a leader to youth in terms of maybe bringing some of those questions to the surface? Do I want to be talking about that? Do I want to avoid that? Do I want to just, you know, wait it out until they come to me with questions? Or could you give us some wisdom as how to approach that with this younger generation that we're working with?
Well, I would say that in our day and age, young people are going to ask the questions regardless. My daughter is now 20 years old. When she was young, her first best friend was a Buddhist. Her second best friend was a Sikh. and her third best friend was an avowed atheist at the age of 8 years old. And that's the kind of diversity of worldview that my daughter was exposed to very early on as a young Christian. Now, that's inevitably going to raise questions. So I think that we just have to expect that they're going to come. I think the best thing that perhaps one of the best things we can do for young people is to get them grounded in what mere Christianity is, to really ask some hard questions about what's at the really at the heart of the faith. For example, 30 years ago, we spent a lot of time trying to look for evidence to defend a worldwide global flood. Now, that's not that that's an unimportant question to debate. It is. But is it at the very heart of what it is to be a mere Christian? I would suggest it isn't. And so for each one of us, we have to think, what's at the very heart of what it is to be Christian? So that when other questions come up that maybe aren't at the heart, but are still important, we don't immediately feel threatened by them.
That's such a great point, Randall. In fact, I just had a student come into my office just the other day, you know, asking a lot of scientific questions and looking for defense of faith and that. And when I responded to him, I just found that there was disengagement there. He wasn't really interested in all the facts that I had to share with him. I wonder if you could give us a little bit of wisdom is like, if I want to get to the heart of what the real issue is, how do I get there conversationally? What kinds of questions should I be asking a student that might come? Or should I answer those questions, the scientific ones, or how do I approach that? How do I get to the heart?
I mean, one thing I would say is, like, when it comes to scientific questions, I would say, hey, I'm not a scientist. So we have to be careful sometimes about opining or giving all of our views on issues under which we're really maybe not properly informed. It's okay not to know. And so I would definitely keep that in mind. Another thing would be, and I kind of hear this perhaps in your question or in this conversation you had with a student, is that maybe the questions that were in the front weren't actually the heart of the issue. And so I think we also need to pay attention, and I think emotional intelligence is important here too, is that what is the actual basis of the question? If I answer this question, am I getting to the heart of the issue, or is there something deeper at play? And we just kind of need to be listening for those cues.
So good, Randall. You know, I think a question that has been working better since the conversation like this one is, hey, that's a really interesting question. Why did you ask it? And just kind of, that seems to get to the heart of the question real fast. I love this point that you made, though, Randall, about I'm not a scientist and that I don't need to know everything. Randall, that's something that's just really challenging for me as a youth leader because I feel an obligation to know everything. Now, have you ever been in a conversation where it served you well to take that humble approach? Like, I'm thinking you've gone up against some real opponents. And in perhaps I've heard that you've done debates and that sort of thing. How has that served you well to take a humble approach when it comes to things that you don't know? Do you lose respect? Does it end the conversation? Do I lose my opportunity if I say I don't know?
Steve, we're in an age where everybody's an expert. You know, people, they've read a Wikipedia article and now they're ready to give the final word on a particular issue. And I think a lot of people, when they find that you're careful about not going beyond what you can confidently speak about, it far from undermining you, that actually gives you a lot of credibility for people because they realize that you're the kind of person who's going to listen and going to moderate your opinions based upon the evidence that is available to you. And that is going to win you over time enormous respect among people. And I think gaining that kind of credibility in a skeptical world is invaluable.
Randall, this is so good. Okay, so I'm here, I'm listening, I'm a volunteer youth leader. I was really hoping when I came and I saw the title there, how to help a young person who might be deconstructing their faith. I was really hoping that you'd come up with like a 5-point sort of strategy as to how to win them over in an evening. I'm getting the sense that that might not be there, but I'm wondering if there's any final wisdom that you could give to our volunteer leaders as they come into their youth night programs or they meet one-on-one over coffee or that sort of thing. What should I be thinking as a volunteer youth leader and I sit down with a youth who might be deconstructing or challenging their faith? Give me just the strategic outline of where I should go with the conversation.
Gosh, so I didn't give you the 5 points, and at the end of the day, you really do want those 5 points. That's what I'm hearing here. It's just so much a matter of knowing the situation, knowing the young person. As you said, like asking, well, why are you asking that question? Where is this actually coming from? Again, encouraging them in the doubts and questions that it's okay to have them, that they shouldn't be a threat to them. But at the end of the day, What is the heart of Christianity? Again, it is Jesus Christ crucified and raised from the dead for our sins so that we can be in proper relationship with God the Father. And that's at the heart. And if we can continue to be centered on that and then living out the love of God and neighbor as our outflow of life practice in response to that, I think we're going to be doing pretty well.
Randall, it's been so good to be with you here. I feel so empowered because here I am talking to a smart intellectual. And it sounds to me like you are saying, from all of your study, it really comes back to the relationship, understanding where these youth are coming from, listening with curiosity, and just holding some space for them to challenge their faith, have some doubts, and walk with them through that journey. Man, it sounds to me like that's something that anyone can do, whether that be in a youth group, on an airplane, at the grocery store, with their neighbor. Man, you just really made me feel empowered. Randall, thank you so much for sharing with us your wisdom. Randall, where can people find some more resources if they just need a little bit more confidence with this? What are maybe a handful of resources that you would recommend for them to seek out?
Well, there's such an abundance of material available online. There's a YouTube channel that a friend of mine named Cameron Bertuzzi runs called Capturing Christianity, which has really emerged in the last few years as a real marvelous resource because Cameron regularly has on leading Christian scholars to talk about and discuss and debate issues. Also, there's a well-known podcast and radio show called Unbelievable with Justin Brierley. And I've been on there, actually, and on Cameron's channel as well several times. And Brierley's podcast, Unbelievable, has been going up for 15 years now. And most of those episodes are available online, and they're almost all debates and dialogues between people of very different views. So I would say those are good places to start. Last thing I'll just leave you with, Karl Barth, leading theologian of the 20th century, he was once asked, what was the most profound theological truth you'd ever discovered? And he said, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Again, let's keep that at the heart.
So good, Randall. Hey, thank you for joining us this morning. Thanks for what you're doing for the Coalition for Youth Ministry Leadership. Again, if you want some information on how you could learn from people like Randall, a little bit more about youth ministry, go on over to the youthworker.community website. Check out the Coalition for Youth Ministry Leadership. Perhaps you want to up your game and you want to join people like Randall and study together with us. You can find all the information there. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for what you do with youth week after week. We just want to remind you that what you do matters, and we just want to remind you that we are here. We've got your back, and we just want to pray for you and bless you in what you're doing because it matters. Have a great day.